Welcome back to the Andalus podcast. I wonder, do you agree with me about this? And by me, I mean, this is a sentiment that I picked up from, I can't remember who, but someone who at the time, I guess, was filling some kind of a business mentor type role, but they told me this advice. Like, never give away your product or your art or your whatever it is for free. Because, you know, and we all do that as artists, especially we do these giveaways to just, you know, we're so proud of our new album or our new book or our new whatever that we just want people to, we just want to be discovered, I guess, for having some semblance of talent, right? And so sometimes people do these lead loss things where they give away their art. Anyway, the advice that I subscribed to many years ago, and I really think it's good advice, is never to give away your art for free, because in the eyes of your customer, I suppose, or your audience, you're devaluing your work to zero. You're implying by giving it away for free that it's worth nothing. And it's fair for the customer or the fan or the, you know, whatever, we the audience, to come to that conclusion, because you are literally telling them that it's worth nothing. And you can give away the finest work of art you've ever created, and you give that, you know, write a fantastic book, write one of the best books ever written, and give it away to 1,000 people, and maybe 3 of them will actually read it. Now, if you sell 1,000 copies, well, I'm not saying 1,000, but a much higher percentage of those people will read it if they've paid some money for it. What do you reckon? What do you think about that? It's on my mind because, as you might know from the previous episode, I think I mentioned it. You know what I need to do? I need to take notes of what I talk about in each episode because I never remember. Anyway, in the previous episode, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that I've re-released Personal Fable on Amazon. I've tinkered with it. I've changed a couple of little words here and there. Very minor changes. But I think of the original release in 2020 as an ARC. You might be familiar with it. What an ARC is, A-R-C, Advanced Reader Copy. When a book is about to be released, it is released, printed up as paperback, looks, you know, 99% professional, like a real book, but it might have a little watermark somewhere on it or a little print saying, you know, not for retail sale. And the purpose of these advanced copies is to get feedback and to get promotional quotes as well. So you might give copies to other authors or to reviewers so that, you know, when the real one comes out, it can have those little quotes that go on the front cover to say how brilliant the book is. Also, the feedback received for the book can actually go into another edit of the book, and then, you know, it changes between the ARC and the final release. Now, I originally released Personal Fable in 2020 during lockdowns, and then it just disappeared for a few years, for 3 years. And then I revisited it. I did tinker with it, and I relaunched it just this year, just, you know, maybe a month ago. So I consider it the world's longest arc period from 2020 until, you know, February 2024, that we reviewed the book, and now the real one is out. That's how I'm thinking about it in my head, because the original launch of the book wasn't satisfying for me, was not what I hoped for. For context, you know, in probably the first year of having my first novel out, it would have sold a few thousand copies within a year, which is really good numbers for an indie book, right? That's quite impressive. For a mainstream book, that's not that impressive, but I was very happy with that. And by the way, those books were all paperbacks, so I'm not talking, you know, ebooks or Kindles or anything like that. Real books out there in the world. And after, you know, 3 or more years of this novel, I'd sold maybe 50, if that, you know, so I was really not satisfied. So, yep, as you know, I've re-released it on the Amazon Beast, which means Kindle, which means the wisdom of one bajillion other indie authors out there that have been doing this better than I've been doing it for many years. The wisdom is that you make use of the Kindle Free Days promotion. So you can set your book to be free on Kindle, the ebook version, for a number of days. I think you get 5 days per year that you can schedule for it to be free. And the wisdom is that you should definitely make use of those days, and you should promote heavily that it's free for those days. And so that's what I'm doing. I've made it free from the 11th, which is now, as I record this. It's just kind of gone live, which is, again, why it's on my mind. It's free for 3 days, so 11th, 12th, and 13th PDT, which I don't even know what PDT time is, but anyway, if you're quick, you might be able to jump on your Kindle and grab it for free. And I don't even know what good that does me, other than, I guess it gets the book out there into the world. I've even employed some like newsletter subscription thing that will apparently mail out to their, you know, thousands of subscribers that this book is free, and you know, so I've gone down the rabbit hole of being a sort of an Amazon author, which I've been an author for, I don't know, 14 years now since my first book came out, and I've never really done the whole like online author thing and Amazon author, like despite being a independent author, I've really done it more like out in the real world, in bookshops, at events, face-to-face sales, right? Like my first novel, 2012, I don't think I even released it as an ebook for a few years after it came out. Or if I did, I just didn't promote it. I don't know. I can't really remember, to be honest. But anyway, so yeah, it's all new for me, and it doesn't quite sit right. It doesn't sit well with me. I'm a bit conflicted, and I'm curious what you reckon. Because I think if 1,000 people go and download that book on their Kindle, I would be amazed if 10 of them actually read it, right? And even if they do, I also think there's that psychological thing at play where even if they do read it, I've already subconsciously told them that it's worth nothing. So maybe they'll be hypercritical of the book and just not enjoy it just on that principle. I don't know, it makes me nervous. On the other hand, I've been getting great feedback about the book. I've been going to these events, little markets, like little pop culture mini collectors events and stuff like that in my area. And I've got a few bigger ones like Comic-Con and stuff like that coming up. And selling copies of the book to the, you know, to real people face to face, which I absolutely love. And I've been getting really good feedback as well. I've started to have some reviews come trickling in, some really nice ones too. And I don't know, I just really appreciate it. I don't know if anyone listening has bought the book and reviewed it, but if you have, I sincerely thank you for taking the time to do that, because there's been a lot of kind words coming through on the Amazon. You know, you can review a book if you've bought it or whatever on Amazon. And also Goodreads is an interesting site. It's a bit like a Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb kind of thing, but for books, and you can read reviews and rate and see ratings for them. And I don't know, it seems like the book has been really well received so far for the people that's read it, and I really appreciate that. I do dream of the day, this is what my one of my, you know, when you try to manifest something to happen, like one day that'll happen. But there's these subreddits about recommending books. There's like r/books. There's r/suggest-me-a-book, I think it's called. And there's some other ones like that. And I subscribe to them because, you know, I love books and I find it interesting. But I do find that, first of all, it's always the same recommendations. It's always Andy Weir. And I love Andy Weir, by the way. But, and it's always Sanderson, and I've got nothing against Sanderson, but it's like, do we really need Sanderson to be the top recommendation in every single one of those threads? My dream is to see my book recommended in one of those threads, because I always see questions like that, you know, the title of the thread, like, oh, can anyone recommend me a book that'll blow my mind, or, good Australian literature, you know, like, and I always see these ones just like, oh, my Fable would be the perfect book to recommend in that thread, but I don't want to go in there and recommend my own book, because that's not cool. but one day someone else will. That's like one of my little ambitions. So, hey, if you've read it and you love it and you think it would be a good recommendation on one of those threads, I appreciate you. By the way, it's free. If you've got a Kindle, Personal Fable, go and grab it, because you might as well, hey. Even if you don't have a Kindle, you can get the Kindle app on your phone or your tablet or whatever, and you're good to go. I'm thinking about tinkering with and re-releasing my old books as well. My first novel especially has some issues with it, I guess. There's some reviews of that came out more recent years. Originally, it got really good reviews. It still gets the occasional good review. But I found that the ratings have reduced in recent years. And I think it's because it's a heavily sort of gendered book, which, what does that even mean? You know, right? Like, that's a weird thing to say, but it's a book about a boy in a trapped-in city, right? No one's ever allowed in, no one's allowed out, and it's for their own safety. The world outside those walls is too dangerous, all the rest, you know. And there's this army, the city's army basically fights to protect the walls from the outside, but also protect them from the inside, because there are these rebels in the city, you know, who aim to break through the walls and find out the truth of what's on the other side. So you got these opposing armies, right? The rebels are fighting to know the truth, however dangerous that might be. The army is fighting to protect their own and their city, with blind faith, I guess, that whatever's out there is too dangerous for them to face. Anyway. It's clearly a metaphor, and the city itself, because it has no outside influence, is very traditional and a bit backwards in that way, because it's old fashioned, it's outdated. Now, the young man is 13 years old. When I was 13 years old, I was absolutely riddled with a drug called testosterone, which will drive you around the twist. If you've ever been a young man or a young woman flooded with testosterone, you'll know what I'm saying. Probably worse for some than others, but for me, it was surely a tumultuous time, to say the least. You really are at the mercy of that chemical, if that's what it's called. It's like drinking a bottle of scotch, whiskey, and then saying, hey, now, don't be drunk. It's impossible. That chemical is affecting you, and you are going to be affected by it. And it makes you aggressive, or competitive, or territorial, or impulsive, or angry. It can make you all kinds of things, this drug called testosterone. And what an interesting premise, or I guess situation, to base a book around. That's kind of the main character. He's a young man, he's kind of an idiot, he's very flawed, he gets rescued many, many times throughout the books, he makes silly decisions, and a lot of the time he gets really lucky and he kind of fumbles his way through, you know, to the end, but also he gets saved a lot and he makes very silly decisions based on very silly emotions, and that's the point, right? That is the point of the book. But the thing that he's striving for is he's got this feeling that the way he is, which is directly, you know, modeled on his community, and that's all he knows, because literally no one's gone outside the community because the walls are closed off. And the way he is, he feels like there's got to be a better way to be. You know what I mean? Like, he's almost critical on himself for being influenced by this closed-mindedness. You know, it's an obvious metaphor. The metaphor even has, you know, the city has war elephants, and the war elephant that this character chooses to rampage through the city on, just in a want of destruction and violence, you know, is on must. And if you know, must, I think it's called. I should know, I wrote the book. But, you know, male elephants get affected by a hormone when they're on must, and it's probably testosterone, I don't know. But they do the same thing, they go on rampage, they get incensed with this chemical, and they're intoxicated by it, and they go berserk. And so it's an obvious, you know, that's it's such an obvious metaphor. Now, Why am I saying all this? So the character is 13 and he's right in that middle between being treated like a kid but also treated like an adult and not sure if he wants to be a kid or an adult yet and stuck in between. I had reviews talking about sort of how the it's almost like it, I don't think they use the word sexist, but kind of saying that the book is sexist because it's about, it uses a lot of gendered language, like, you know, the boy wants to become a man and, you know, he lusts over this sort of beautiful princess, which is very cliched as well. And there's a review that just absolutely rips into me for that, or rips into the book, I should say. And the reason I want to tinker with the book, but I don't want to change it too much because to me, that review bothers me so much. You never really want to go into bat for your book and like defend it like this, but I just want to say it's akin to reading 1984 by George Orwell and then saying, you know, I found the main character to be a bit closed-minded. You would just say to that reviewer, hey, I think that's the point. I don't think that's a flaw that you found in the book. I think it's meant to be that way, to try to be a metaphor for something else. And that's just the way I feel. And unfortunately, like there's been not many, you know, maybe one in, I don't know, 20 reviews where that's bothered the person reading. But it does bother me that it bothers one in 20 people. Also, there's a princess, and like that's another obvious cliche that's included in there. Like, he's a dumb 13-year-old following his emotions, and what affects him more than anything? He's just dumb lust for this princess, right? And she has a moment of bravery in the book where she rebels against her own family, and it's really epic, really awesome. Much braver than anything sort of the boy does in the book, or, you know, equally as brave, you could say, but way more badass. She's a total badass, but she gets, you know, she doesn't pull it off. She gets dragged away to a dungeon and she collapses in a heap because she gets defeated and her prospects are now very grim and hopeless. There's nothing she can do. And she collapses in a heap and then she ends up getting sort of rescued from that situation by the boy. I can't actually remember. But anyway, she gets rescued. And the reviewers sort of say about, you know, why is it that the girl, you know, isn't a kick-ass badass and gets rescued? And it's kind of like, first of all, I think she kind of was a badass. And secondly, like, the main character gets rescued way more times than she does. Like, but it's only when the girl gets rescued that it's a problem. And I just, again, the worst thing you can ever do is try to defend your own book. But I just, it's just sometimes you feel like you can't get it right. I really wanted it to feel a bit real. Like, if you were a teenage girl, I think she's 15 or something in the book, and an army has thrown you in a dungeon sort of thing, fully grown warrior men. Like, is it that unrealistic that they would be overpowered and overwhelmed by their powerlessness? Powerlessness? Anyway, what am I saying all this for? Yeah, anyway, that's my first book. It's called The Liberation of Sundarin City. It's a fun read, and I might tinker with it and do a re-release of that as well. But I really should move on and write new stuff. Hey, you know what else I did, speaking of art? This week I finished my first ever painting. It's, I don't know, my aunties love it. It's a painting of my grandpa in his garden up in Millgrove in Victoria. Planting an apple tree in the garden, and I really like it too. I'm really happy with how it came out. I'll put it up on my socials is what I'll do. If you want to see, go on. I'll chuck it on the Instagram. That's where you put photos. Put a photo of this picture in the next day or so. But a lot of satisfaction in finishing a painting, and I don't know if it's a great painting or a terrible one. I look at it and I really can't. You know, you can't judge your own. Sometimes I'm like, it's a very childish painting. It looks a bit silly. Other times when I kind of stand back a bit, I'm like, It's kind of pretty. Yeah, I kind of dig it. I think I did all right. It's kind of abstract because I can't paint. I can't use paintbrushes, by the way, I found out. The entire painting was done with cotton buds, you know, like those ones you use to clean your ears type things, Q-tips, I think they're called, and toothpicks, just scraping paint around the canvas. But the real success of the painting is simply that I found that I want to do another one. You know, by the end of it, I'm like, I want to do another one. I start another one. So I think that is the main marker of success in that endeavor, is that I enjoyed it. And I it took me a long time. It took me a few years. And sorry, I should rephrase that. I started it a few years ago, and then it sat in a closet for, you know, years at a time. And then I'd take it out and add a little bit more and tuck it away for another 8 months or so, you know. But, happy with it. So, don't know about this podcast. I've just talked about myself for 20 minutes, and I don't know if that's crap or good. I do endeavor that in future episodes, I just won't talk about myself and my own artworks, because it's just very self-indulgent, isn't it? What's the point? But I thank you for listening. And I guarantee you this. Here's a promise I'm going to make you right now. In the next episode, I won't talk about myself or my art once. Not even once. All right. I hope you're having an excellent time wherever you are in the world. I urge you to go and grab Personal Fable for free if you're keen. And if you love it, let me know. Drop a review somewhere, or even just, you know, send me a message on Instagram or whatever. People who message me through Reddit, I do tend to miss those because I just get tons of comments on like a Year of War and Peace threads and stuff, so they get a bit lost in there. So if you have messaged me and I've missed it, I apologize. It's probably, or like tagged me or whatever. I don't know how you get in touch with people on Reddit, but cool. Hey, I appreciate you. I thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.